home, it is creating an environment in which you live, in which you welcome friends and family, in which you, you know, maybe have kids or pets, you're entertaining, you know, it's a place that is defining you in a more permanent way than what you've decided to wear that day. And I love that sense of that root that I'm helping our customers to create in their own way that expresses who they are, using our brand, you know, as a filter for that.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Retail Refined, a Market Scale podcast with your host, me, Melissa Gonzalez. And today I'm excited to announce our first guest of the new year of 2026. And this is going to be with Catherine Finder, who is the Chief Merchandising Officer at Anthropologie Home, a brand that I truly love to shop and bring into my home. In her role, Catherine is responsible for building a strategic and highly productive merchandise assortment while supporting Anthropologie's long-term vision to drive brand clarity. She is a dynamic merchant and a brand builder that we are going to have a robust conversation with, who is passionate for bringing uncommonly good home products to market. Catherine brings extensive retail and merchandising expertise to her role from her time at Kohl's, Pottery Barn, and The Gap. So that is a very impressive background, and I'm excited for us to learn so much more from her in the next 30 minutes. But that is also the highest introduction I could possibly give. So, Catherine, one, thank you so much for sitting with us today. And two, tell us a little bit more about you, about your career in the industry, and what you're bringing to Anthropologie Home.
Sure. Hi, Melissa. And thank you so much for having me. It's fun to be the first person in the new year to come. All sorts of exciting things we're hoping for in the new year. So I guess I'd start out with just giving a high level kind of highlights reel of my career. And when I think about my career, I always think about a couple things. One, my career, as I look back over the decades that I've been doing this, I think about two things. One, my career is not like a straight line. And I think sometimes knowing that, you know, in hindsight, I think it's given me much richer and diversified experiences that I might have had if I had just looked above me. I want to be my boss, or, you know, I've gone to the left, I've gone to the right, and I think it's really served me well. And then the other thing I always think about is it's all about the people and relationships. Many of the roles that I've had have come from advocates, colleagues, people who have helped me open a door, and I always try to do that for folks in my life as well. So I guess I'd start with, you know, I was born in a log cabin, but no, I actually started out, as many did of my era, at a department store retail training program right out of college, and I was on the East Coast, and there I really learned just the fundamentals, like what is this business, what are we doing? How do you do some things like at the very beginning of your career? I stayed there for a couple of years, and then I moved from the East Coast all the way to the San Francisco Bay Area. And through someone that I knew who decided she would help me out, I got a job as a trainee. They had no training program, but a trainee at The Gap. And this was the 90s. This was one of the golden
I was going to say, that is like the heyday to be at The Gap.
The Gap, yes. I know. It's probably their first, maybe their first big heyday. And, you know, it's Mickey Drexler era. And there were many others at that time were, you know, just giants in the industry who are already like further in their career or just starting their career. And I had the really great good fortune to learn so much from them. And I was at The Gap for 7 or 8 years. And I had several different roles in apparel, but also in accessories, which I call like the gateway drug to home. And I think the thing that I learned at Gap, and I think why I stayed in retail all this time, is it really was about the brand and it was about the product. And that experience for me like rooted me in the industry and kept my curiosity all these years. We were building products, we were building assortments, we were learning about the customer, and you know, it was pretty a flying high kind of time. And, you know, what we did, people loved. And I learned so much about, again, about the building of assortments, building a strategy, reacting to sales, but also building the product. Like, I learned all about fabrications and constructions and manufacturing and all those things that kind of come in a specialty vertical retailer. So really like an incredible place for me to start and learn. Really grateful for that experience. And I still am quite close with many of the people I worked with at that time. So, you know, that's kind of my recurring theme.
I just have to say, I've been in an event. It was hosted by Ken Pilot, and he did a talk.
I know. He was my boss at one point.
Oh, he was? Okay. Hopefully it was a good one. But there was a talk that him and Mickey Drexler did at Springhouse, and the amount of people who showed up, like when you say
you're
still friends.
No, I didn't make
friends,
it to that event.
But you know the event, right? It was like this reunion. You could see how much everybody loved to be together, the history they cherish of having been at the Gap during that time.
Incredible.
It really was unique.
Yeah. Incredible. It was really an incredible time. And again, that is just, you know, me being like a hustler to go out and get people to talk to me, but also I had some help, like people opening doors and making introductions, which I'm really grateful for. From there, I'm going to do like a little fast forward to Pottery Barn. And Pottery Barn was so interesting because, again, one of my former colleagues at The Gap introduced me to someone at a Christmas party to Pottery Barn. And I was very curious about home. I found myself in an interview process. I got a job as the senior buyer of furniture. I literally had no home experience, none. And the furniture, that job at the time in Pottery Barn, it was like the biggest volume buying job in the company. And what was great about it is that they gave me a chance, but the incredible steep learning curve was so exhilarating. I knew what I knew about assortment planning and strategies and team building and customer and manufacturing, but I didn't know anything about furniture. So what I learned there is that my PD partners and my design partners were like my best friends. They taught me everything, and they didn't come into it thinking, who is this person? She doesn't know anything. Because I knew a lot of things. I just didn't know about furniture. So I learned so much. And I love learning about products and manufacturing. It just, to me, it's just like, I'm doing that still. Like, to this day, I learn about, oh, what is that type of glass? And like, you know, how do you connect this to that? So I love doing that. So my role at Pottery Barn, a pretty established company, a pretty established area. But after a few years, I was given the opportunity to go to the kids brand. And what I learned at the kids brand at the time, the brand was only a couple years old. It was very small. They only had 3 stores. It was small.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But what I loved about it, and again, like, you know, someone was like, oh, you know, they met me. They liked me. They're like, oh, we have this job. Like, would you like to come and talk about it? And I was like, sure. At the time, I had 2 little kids. So it's like, you know, it's like a time in my life where I really related to the product. And what I learned at Pottery Barn Kids was 2 things. One, it was like working for a startup. Mm-hmm. And there was no history. There was barely an assortment. I mean, it was very small.
A startup, but you had some enterprise level support.
Exactly. And that was the key for sure. The other thing I learned is this is probably the first time I realized or really acknowledged the emotional connection that I had to the brand and the product, and that customers had to the brand and product. I mean, our customers were parents, grandparents, people just having babies. I mean, this is a very emotional time. And, you know, they connected to the brand in a way that I just found so just endearing, emotional, like connects to you, thinking like we're part of these people's lives. They're relying on us to sell them things that they want, that they need, that are safe, you know, all these things. And it became like it's a relationship that you had with the customer over time. So that was when I realized I'd been doing it all along, I guess, but it came to a point at that time, and I really appreciated that connection. The next fast forward, I'll actually mention at the time, I also, my husband and I owned our own retail business at the same time, and I mention it, and it was a pet supply store, and I'm a big
well, hopefully person. My dog doesn't jump into camera at some point, but yes, me too.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I would welcome that. But we decided to open our own business, and he ran the business day to day, but like I was able to really be a part of a real startup of being an owner of a neighborhood pet store. And again, it was about relationships. It was about emotion. It was about people coming to you for advice. I loved that time. And I did all like the buying and the merchandising, and I did the window displays. I mean, it was really sort of learning that retail, as much as it is complicated and complex and gets more and more so every day, it reminded you that, and I learned this at Pottery Barn, actually, the Howard Lester, who's the founder of Williams-Sonoma, and Chuck Williams, they would always say, like, retail is really simple. You go into your shop every day, you sweep off the front stoop, you flip the lights on, and you welcome the customers. And I reminded myself that every day, because I was literally doing that when I worked in my own store, and then I would do it and bring that that same notion to work. So it was a crazy time. I don't even know how I did it. Like, try not to think about like how I manage two little kids, my own store, and a retail career.
The things we do, ultimate multitasking. But everything you said resonates in so many ways. Like, so my daughter's like whole set was from Pottery Barn Kids, and I remember going. And you're intersecting in such this like pivotal moment in somebody's life, and that emotional connection you create, and the memories that become inherent in that whole experience you get to have with the customer, so unique. And then pets is a whole other thing. I mean, that is the other baby in the house.
Kind of the same in a way. Yeah. So that was, and again, a time of growth, learning. You know, certainly I was advancing in my career, but at the same time, just like building kind of a foundation and the relationships that have taken me further. So from there, I'm going to like fast forward through a couple things and just go to Kohl's. And for me, Kohl's was like probably the most unexpected opportunity for me in my career. It's one of those things where you're like, really? You know, you're going from this specialty single brand environment to this big box mass multi-brand environment at a totally different scale. And I thought, you know, either this is going to be the best decision I ever made or not. But what I found out, it was, I loved it. And I was there for a decade. And for me, the idea of the accessibility to this it was a very broad group of customers. And we were able to bring to them style at a value price. And it was also this multi-brand environment where in every company I'd worked for before, I was managing the brand. I was developing the brand, but you didn't think about it as much because it was a single brand environment. In a multi-brand environment, I was in charge of the private brands there, and there were like a dozen. So you had to manage these brands and make sure that there was clarity with the brand, that within these millions of customers you were welcoming into Kohl's, that you were pointing them in the direction of, this will appeal to you, this will appeal to you, this is for you. And it was men's, it was women's, it was home, it was kids. And I loved that experience, and the scale at which we were operating was really new to me. And I enjoyed that experience. And I think it taught me a lot about brand management in a single brand environment and how much more intentional I needed to be when I thought about how you create clarity around a brand to attract the customers that you want to bring into your brand. So then we kind of get to Anthropologie at that point. I skipped a couple things, but that's like my highlights reel.
It's still a very full highlight reel. I have so many accomplishments. And, you know, it was funny because I was a little late in my holiday shopping. I mean, when this airs, it'll be January, but, and I did go to Pottery Barn because it was, you know, and Williams-Sonoma and Anthropologie, actually. But you just see, you know, all the different options and how you can get lost in that sea of options. And you're just reminded every single time, the two things that you highlight are the most important: brand above all, right? Like, that is the emotional connection that you're creating, and that resonance and the memory. It's about brand, and then a product has to back it up, or it doesn't matter how strong your brand is, people won't come back. So I think, yeah, you accurately highlight those two key areas. As we dive further into home, which is where you're living now, and, you know, it's serving as that emotional ecosystem, you know, how does Anthropologie Home, you know, yes, product is pivotal, but how does it feel a little bit more about connecting with how people feel in their spaces? And how do you define the role of home today? And in your mind, like, how has that evolved over the years?
Great question. For me, you know, I've really done almost every category there is to do except footwear. Haven't done that. Maybe.
Not yet.
I don't know. Not yet. There's still time. But I think that there's certainly a lot of similarities between driving apparel businesses, running apparel businesses, and driving home businesses. I think the reason why I particularly have enjoyed my career as it has connected to home businesses is there's like a permanence around home that I think is different from apparel. Apparel is obviously, you know, what you wear. It's very important. I am a shopping aficionado. I love shopping for apparel. But at the same time, home, it is creating an environment in which you live, in which you welcome friends and family, in which you, you know, maybe have kids or pets, you're entertaining, you know, it's a place that is defining you in a more permanent way than what you've decided to wear that day. And I love that sense of that root that I'm helping our customers to create in their own way that expresses who they are, using our brand, you know, as a filter for that. So I think that's always been something that's been important to me in home, that sense of that root, that tradition, that permanence.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's true. From the minute you wake up to you go to sleep, I mean, it is what is surrounding you. And so when you think about that, what are guiding principles that anchor your merchandising decisions, you know, you and your team when designing for that emotional resonance, not just trend relevance?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And anthropology, certainly we are very connected to trend, what's happening in the world, what's happening in fashion, what's happening in home, what our customers are interested in, you know, what they're talking about on social media. We are absolutely plugged in to what's happening. At the same time, a home business isn't a business that swings wildly from trend to trend. And, you know, there's benefits of that, certainly. When you think about some of the trends that have lasted for decades in home, I mean, we thought our homes were all going to be gray forever, right? I mean, that was a trend that lasted for a really long time. But there are, and I like that because you're able to really root yourself in those ideas. I mean, a customer is only going to buy a sofa, you know, every 5, 6, 7, 8 years, you know, they're not going to switch it out on a daily basis. So I think I like that long-term view and thinking about how things are going to live in customers' homes for a long time. They have to look good, but they also have to serve function and purpose. They need to last. And I think customers are looking for things that express who they are and reflect the trends of what's going on in the world, but also things that they can rely upon and use. And there's always a form and function and style balance in home products that I really like that feel.
Yeah, no, for sure. It sets a tone and a mood in so many different ways, and the ability of like, what do you want to evoke in the bedroom, and what energy do you want in the living room, and you know, what do you want in the playroom?
Yeah, and it's everything from, you know, you just said you bought a home a couple of years ago. It's everything from I need to build my home. I need to fill my home to, you know, I need a refresh because we're going from, you know, fall to holiday or holiday to spring or spring to summer, or, you know, I'm renovating and I need a new look, or, you know, it's just a gamut of ways that we can interact with our customer. Also entertaining. I mean, that's a huge part of our business, and our customers come to us to help them express themselves through entertaining as they welcome friends and families into their home.
No, absolutely. I mean, I've always loved to, even when I had a little studio apartment in the West Village, I loved to entertain, just pack people in there. But having a home, it's a whole other adventure, you know? And now when we host the holidays, it's like, get so excited. What's the right, you know, serveware and the plates and all the things you're going to stack. And yeah, it's so fun. Well, we talk about designing for meaning, not just style. You know, you also create objects that are deeply personal. One of the things I really enjoy when I go to Anthropologie to shop over the holidays is like there's this fun treasure hunt too, especially from the gift giving side. You don't know what you're going to find. And it's so easy to be like, oh, I need all of these things. How do you think about product as a catalyst for ritual and connection and delivering that everyday joy?
It's what I live for. I mean, every season, I mean, we work pretty far out in home. So, you know, we're thinking ahead of the customer's needs, but like you can always rely on the holidays happening, right? Christmas is going to happen December 25th. People are going to celebrate Valentine's Day. You know, they're going to travel for, you know, they're going to entertain outside for summertime. They're going to celebrate Halloween. Like, so those cyclical, dependable holidays are places where we can really shine. And, you know, we've really I've been at Anthropologie for a couple of years, and we have really doubled our focus into celebrations, whatever those celebrations are. They could be holidays. They could also be events. They could be a wedding or, an anniversary or birthday party. So really thinking about, you know, these are when people are really looking to us for ideas and inspiration about how to create their own traditions. And I think, you know, at Anthropologie, we're not trying to serve you a package of this is how you do it. You know, this is how you throw, you know, a Halloween party. This is how you're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. We're not doing that. We're giving you ideas and inspiration and sort of ingredients that you can use to build your own traditions, because that has to be personal to people and, you know, something that they're going to, you know, literally go back to year after year. And we want to be part of that joy and part of that anticipation as you think about celebrating with family and friends.
I love that. I love all of that. As you're saying it, I'm like picturing all the different things that I've collected over time. I'm going to make a little pivot in the conversation to partnerships, because that's another area where, you know, I think Anthropologie stands out in the thoughtfulness. And so we're going to go through a couple of them. The first one being Ruggable, which I think is the newest here.
Yeah.
The newest. So really, you know, and it makes me think a little bit about what you said on the Kohl's thing of how you like, you're elevating function for a broader audience with this. And so, right. You know, you're making it more accessible, but also in that highly functional format, especially those that have kids, right? Like I love being able to throw my Ruggable into the washing machine. What sparked this partnership and how did you work closely with them to ensure the Anthropologie aesthetic translated without compromise in this partnership?
Well, I love that we're talking about partnerships. I think it's a place where Anthropologie really shines more than any company I've ever worked for. We seamlessly weave partnerships into what we do every day. They're not like a special event. They're like they are a special event, but we do it all the time. And, you know, we have the team and the infrastructure to be able to constantly be finding, looking, searching, building, developing, and executing into these partnerships that I think make our brand so vibrant. And the Ruggable partnership is no exception. And I am super excited about Ruggable. It's something we talked about for a bit. I think we sort of mutually reached out to each other thinking, you know, is this something we should explore? And internally, we're really excited about it. You know, we are always looking at how we broaden our audience, you know, how we welcome customers into our brand at different times during their lives. And, you know, function is always going to be a driver. You know, people live their lives in their homes. You know, they don't walk in and put on a booties and like walk around delicately like in a museum, right? You know, you're living in your house and life happens. You know, people have kids, they have dogs, they have parties, you know, things happen. And so you want your home to be able to function for you. So Ruggable was a perfect partnership for us to really think about how we could bring, you know, our design and style aesthetic to life, but in a way that is super functional for the customer. And Ruggable is very driven through their design team. We were delighted meeting with them. You know, they came, you know, it wasn't just a group of, you know, marketing and business people. It was the design team that was there talking to us about, you know, how they wanted to bring our designs to life in a new way, but in a recognizable way. And, you know, we launched it a couple of weeks ago and we've been really thrilled with the results. Our customer is loving it. And, you know, we're bringing new people into our brand that didn't consider maybe rugs from Anthropologie yet in their lives, because maybe they're at a time with, you know, lots of things happening, lots of chaos happening in their houses, and now they're like, wow, now I can be part of Anthropologie in this way because they've created functionality that works for me.
Yeah, well, I can say it came at a perfect time for me, not just because we're on, but I have this high traffic area, kind of in my kitchen. I have a table with a really beautiful rug on it, and now we're in year three, and it's been between my dog at once being a puppy and my kid being younger, it needs an upgrade. But I really wanted this beautiful pattern because it's in such a visible area of my home. So I'm really excited to be able to have an opportunity where I could have that aesthetic, but also that durability. Now, you talked about function being one of the filters that you evaluate, but can you dig into that a little bit deeper? Like, how do you evaluate partnerships to ensure that they expand the brand universe, but they're appropriate for Anthropologie's voice and style and DNA?
Yeah, our collaborations do a lot of different things for us, and just the variety of partnerships that we're talking about today sort of illustrates that. You know, from Ruggable to the New York City Ballet, you know, to a local hotel. I mean, it's like they're really different things. But I think what they all have in common is that we share a joy around our customer, around the brand, and around the combination where, you know, 1 + 1 = 10. And we're really looking for that in any collaboration. And again, there's a huge variety in what we do. Little things, big things, from artists to influencers to brands that we're partnering with. And all of them are, you know, they are expanding our brand. We are expanding their brand. And together, you know, I think we're creating something that wasn't there before, which I think, you know, is part of the joy of retail, right? You're creating new things, and they all have that similarity, even though they're all really diverse partnerships.
No, absolutely. And I love joy as a filter. And in that, yes, let's transition to the New York City Nutcracker collaboration. Yes! Especially this time of year, it's the perfect, you know, it's always on the checklist. So, you know, really being steeped in nostalgia and artistry and seasonal magic. What was the creative North Star behind this partnership? And then how did you translate performance and emotion into home design?
Totally. You're hitting it on the head. I think what's really interesting about the New York City Ballet Nutcracker collaboration is the amount of research that we did before anyone put pen to paper, before anyone created anything. There was a deep sense of learning and appreciation about the history of this incredible, you know, nutcracker that, you know, has gone on for, I mean, I don't even know how old it is, a long
decades.
Decades, yeah. And decades, yeah. And decades. And, you know, people have like long memory about seeing it every year with their parents, with their grandparents, you know, bringing their kids. I mean, something people do every year and look forward to every year. And we had to really understand that before we could honor the legacy of George Balanchine's Nutcracker. I mean, it's not something you just sort of like, oh, we got it. You know, so we really took that really, really seriously. We had our person who is in charge of collaborations plus our design team. They went to the New York City Ballet and they were given access to their archives of costumes.
Oh,
I mean,
beautiful.
Seriously,
I want to go on that
there.
Trip.
No one asked me to go, but you know, I heard about it. But you know, really just the wonder that they came out of that understanding, the materials, the history, the legacy, you know, the people who had worn those costumes. I mean, incredible, yeah. Right? They were able to see the sets. They were able to talk to the performers. They saw a performance of the Nutcracker, obviously, to really understand, like, what are we trying to create here? And then with all of that in mind, they went and I think really the focus was, you know, to create that sense of nostalgia and tradition, but to also capture that sense of movement. And I think you see that in every piece. And I'm so proud of the designs and the level of sort of whimsy and emotion that we added to it. I mean, the Mouse King becomes like the holder of the cheese knife on the cheese board. I mean, you're just like, it's delightful. I mean, yes. I mean, who doesn't want
joy?
That? Yeah, joy.
The joy. You know, I can see the joy as you talk about it. You light up.
I mean, the nutcracker becomes a cocktail shaker. You know, of course he does. I mean, that makes total sense when you think about it. It has been really successful, and the level of just positive sentiment, joy, gratitude. Oh, thank you for doing this. This is so incredible. It's so important to my family. I have a dear, dear friend who grew up in ballet, and she came to visit me recently from the West Coast, and we went to the store, and she saw it in the stores, and she goes every single year without fail to see the Nutcracker. And so I secretly, of course, bought it all for her and sent it to her. And she called me, she's crying. I mean, that's the level of emotion that we're creating, you know, with our customers. So like, we couldn't be prouder of it's gonna be hard to top, but we couldn't be prouder of the Nutcracker. It was really just a labor of love, but just the execution of it was incredible.
Well, I love the way you talk through it, because, you know, one of the things I was going to bring up is, you know, with holiday collection, it is an art, because it often walks a fine line between what makes it timeless and what makes it timely. And how do you design those seasonal moments that feel collectible? But, you know, the way in which you talked about this is exactly exemplary of that.
Right. That's right. And I think we do that very intentionally. We'd love to think about how that customer next year is going to, you know, go up to their attic or whatever, or their closet, wherever they're keeping it. And, you know, they're going to pull it out, and it's going to be like all over again. It's going to be all new again to them, and yet familiar, you know, because they're going to remember, oh, remember last year, the dessert we had on these plates? Do you remember like the cocktail that I made? You know, they're going to remember all those things, and those memories are going to compound on each other as they add to their collection. They reuse, these are things people are going to hand down to their kids for sure.
Yeah, that's so special to be part of those core memories with them. Well, let's go to the third partnership. We've had Ruggable, you know, and then the ballet. And now we go to hospitality meets retail with Hotel Anna and Belle. So, you know, that I think also steps into these blurred lines that we're seeing between retail and hospitality and immersive brand experiences. So what excites you most about designing, you know, behind the store into live shared environments like hotels?
Well, I love it. And you know, I will say that this partnership started out in a, you know, kind of predictable way, but also interesting. We were doing a creative shoot at the hotel, right? So we're always looking for local places. Where can we, you know, use different environments to bring our product to life in a new way? And they were shooting a daylight savings like video at Anna and Belle, and the owner approached our creative team and was like, have you guys ever thought of, and it was so quick to start to the wheels to start turning and us to start like really developing into like, what could this be? They had a penthouse suite that was empty and literally a blank canvas. And we were so excited with the opportunity to create really like almost like a public space, you know, using a brand like ours that people typically would attribute to their private spaces. And, you know, what a unique opportunity to be able to bring our brand to life in a way that people, I mean, they go to the hotel asking for the Anthropology suite. I mean, they're like, I want to live here, you know? So that was really interesting. And, you know, it has been locally, like, what a buzz. We've had, you know, so many impressions. The Anna and Belle won like the best hotel room in Philadelphia magazine this year. You know, we're like, okay.
I mean, I go to Philly pretty often. I'm going to have to go check this out.
Yeah, it's incredible. And it, you know, it's incredible hotel, incredible staff, the incredible restaurant attached to it. I mean, it's really a gem in Philadelphia, and has a lot of history attached to it. And so we're so happy to be, we're part of the Philadelphia community, you know, and for us to be able to extend our brand to embrace This hotel suite is really exciting. They asked us to come back at holiday time and give it a little zhuzh for the holidays. So between Anthropologie and Terrain, we were able to decorate their public spaces to really like make it sparkle and be magical for the holidays. So it looks incredible. And you know, we plan on continuing to update the suite, just like we do, you know, our own creative, our own showrooms in our retail stores, like showing, you know, what's new, what's happening at Anthropologie, so customers can continue to discover our brand as they visit Philadelphia and stay at Anna and Belle.
Yeah, well, I can imagine that in this kind of environment, different than the actual retail stores or your online presence, that hospitality-driven collaborations could be a testing ground, you know, for customer insights. And what were some things maybe you learned from this partnership that have surprised you that you think are go-forward opportunities?
Yeah, I think, you know, for us, you know, we had to use some different filters. You know, this is obviously a functional commercial space. And there are definitely some considerations around performance. You're going to have a lot more high traffic, high use. You know, the way that they, you know, have to clean everything, you know, we had to think about that. And we actually have a lot of great performance products that do really well in environments like that. And we had a group that, you know, went to go check on it. How's it looking? Is everything holding up okay? And they came back and they're like, it all looks really good, you know? So, you know, obviously they're having lots of people in and out, you know, different people, you know, every few days. So I was really proud of the way our products stood up, but it made me, you know, think more about performance, more about how our products, even if you're just in your house, like these things have to perform and they have to really perform all the time. They have to work really well and work hard in your home. So I think we have a little bit more, we always focused on that, but I think I'm a little more focused on that too, just making sure we're thinking through functionality and reliability with our products. For sure.
Yeah, so important. Well, this tees up the future a little bit. So I want to ask, and I always like to do this, just to get the audience thinking, what are you excited about when you think of Anthropologie Home in the future, you know, and the consumer? What keeps you up in a good way 2 years out, 5 years out?
Lots of things keep me up. I'd say for us, I would just use the word growth. We are, you know, I've been here for 2 years, as I mentioned, and in those 2 years, we have had a laser focus on making sure that our foundations are strong, making sure that across all four home divisions that we have reliable, like, exciting core product that people are coming back for again and again, that we're layering on fashion and trend in a way that the customer keeps coming back, you know, that our website is working in a way that the customer finds easy and seamless. You know, all those foundational kind of that take a bit of discipline to make sure that we've got all the things set up to grow. And I feel really good about the work we've done over the past 2 years. And, you know, there's an expectation and excitement around the home business and growing the home business. And we have lots of plans in the next few years to make that a reality. So that's what I'm most excited about.
Yes. Well, I'll be watching to see all these new collaborations, especially as they
come to fruition. We got lots of good stuff. Yeah. Next year, you're going to be wowed. There's lots of amazing things happening next year.
I can't wait. All right. Well, I'm going to get a couple rapid fire before we end here. We started a little bit, you know, in your personal, from a professional standpoint, and we're going to end a little bit with some fun. So first question, what's one home item that instantly shifts mood for you?
Okay. This is such an easy, I mean, there's so many, but like for me, it's like no question. It is home fragrance and candles. I am a very scent-related person. I find that scents, I mean, I think it's true of a lot of people, scents are evocative. They bring memories to mind. Like, remember, you know, you smell something, and you're like, "Oh my God, my grandmother's attic," you know, or "Oh my God, that reminds me of the pie that you made," you know, all those things. So I have a particular scents that I enjoy. You know, when we develop our scents, we literally have a meeting where our scent buyer brings in all these unmarked pods of scented wax, and we have like a smell off. Like, we go through all the different scents and we rate them and we decide, you know, because we know that, like, you know, these are things that people, I mean, they're certainly the vessel's important, but really it's the scent. So for me, like, candles, that's the answer. Candles.
Yeah, I love that. We always have some sort of scent in the house, especially for the holidays.
Okay. And we're famous for candles. I mean, people come to Anthropologie for candles. So we love doubling down.
Oh, I've gifted many to others. I'm so sure. Okay, second question. What is a design era that continues to inspire you?
I recently went to an exhibition at the Philadelphia Art Museum, and it was all about the post-World War II era. And, you know, I've always said, like, you know, you say mid-century and you think certain things, but really that time, it was the mid-century, but that time was a time, you know, after World War II, where there was a sense of optimism and innovation with materiality and design. And you think about, I mean, you probably, I know I do, like pieces in your home that were designed at that time, whether it's, you know, Eames or Saarinen or, you know, George Nelson bubble lamps or, you know, whatever it is, these things endure, and they endure because they seamlessly blend innovative materials with workhorse like functionality, and this sense of just joy in their design that I'm always coming back to personally, and also you know, working it in to the Anthropologie look and feel as well.
I love that. Okay, last one. What is one word that defines Anthropologie home right now?
Well, cat's out of the bag because we already said it earlier, but I'm going to go with joy.
Yes, I think there's a through line in this conversation. So
I'm going to go with joy. And, you know, we talk about it all the time at work. I mean, we'll be in a meeting and we have the funniest conversation. You can imagine the conversations that we have, but like, we have these funny conversations. They're like, okay, now which rug are we talking about? Are you talking about the dachshund with the martinis on its back? Or are you talking about the dachshund with the bow and the sunglasses? And we're like, what are we talking about? It's a crazy conversations. But like, you know, this is like, this drives our customer, this sense of discovery, the unexpected. Like, we are bringing, and I want to bring more joy to our customers every day. People need it, they want it, and they want to come to Anthropologie to see what's new, what's next, but also what's going to spark emotion and joy and optimism. So I love that about my job. So fun.
Yeah. Well, I can attest to it because, as I said earlier, I go in there with this like treasure hunt mindset. Like, what am I going to find? I know if I need gifts, it's going to be something special. I can rely on going to that store to find something special for somebody or for myself. So,
and you'll always find something new that you didn't expect to need or want.
Yeah. Yes. You're like, the salt shaker and pepper shaker I didn't know I needed, yeah. but now it's in my life.
But you do. And you need the giant olive object, you know, that sold out. I mean, we sold a glass olive, and I remember someone saying, "Well, what does it do?" And I said, "It sparks joy."
Perfect answer.
It's its only function. And I love that. Being part of that.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for spending this time. I have to say, it is a joy to talk to you, no pun intended, because you can see your passion really through this whole conversation. You know, I can only imagine what you bring to the office with the team every day.
Thank you.
With that. So thank you so much.
It's a team effort, but I definitely try.
Yeah. And I appreciate everything you shared. So thank you so much for being with us again, everybody. Catherine Finder, Chief Merchandising Officer at Anthropologie Home, really bringing so much magic to the consumer every day. So appreciate all of that and everything that you're going to do in the year ahead. We will be watching.
Well, thank you, Melissa. It's been a joy.